We stay in the same neighborhood for this next story. The U.S. this week expanded sanctions against Iran over its nuclear program. Such measures have not put a halt to the nuclear program in the past, and Iran says they never will. But there are some signs that the sanctions, and a new emphasis on enforcing them, test Iran's ability to do business abroad. NPR's Peter Kenyon visited the Persian Gulf Emirate of Dubai, where he found Iran's traditional economic lifeline being squeezed.
The scene along the Dauport on Dubai Creek is much the same as it has been for decades. The traditional wooden boats are tied three or four abreast. Many decks are fully covered with all sorts of cargo. Tires, televisions and computer monitors, cases of Bloody Mary mix, and on the larger vessels, even cars. It's all headed to a country that American politicians like to claim is effectively isolated and shunned by the international community. Dubai has long been an economic lifeline for Iran. Locals like to say that conservative Muslim Iranian families showed up here in the 1930s when the Shah banned the chador, the Islamic full-length covering for women. And more secular Iranian families followed after the 1979 Islamic Revolution when women were forced back into the chador. The U.S. bans American companies from selling most products to Iran. But the United Arab Emirates, one of which is Dubai, is a huge importer of American goods, and a lot of it gets redirected to Iran. But while there's still plenty of work for Dow captains and their crews working the Dubai-Iran route, analysts are seeing signs that tougher sanctions and better enforcement are making inroads, even in this notoriously hard-to-police port. The Iranian Business Council says hundreds of Iranian companies have closed here in recent months, and economists are expecting year-end statistics to reflect an estimated 10% drop in total Iran-Dubai trade. Adil Mirza with the Middle East Economic Digest says the aggressive U.S. efforts to keep Gulf banks from financing Iranian trade are having an effect. He attributes the new zeal for enforcing sanctions in part to the financial crisis that rocked Dubai's real estate market in the last 2 years. Since Dubai was rescued by its conservative neighbor Abu Dhabi, it has also lost some of its independence.
Since the financial crisis, Abu Dhabi has actually increased its influence on the Emirate. They will put a lot of pressure on banks in the UAE to make sure that the regulations are adhered to. Trade in dollars is obviously impossible with Iran, so Iranian banks and companies are having to pay a premium to work with other currencies.
Since U.S. policy toward Iran has remained essentially unchanged for over three decades, the Iranian regime is well used to sanctions and adept at creating front companies and using other methods to avoid them. But Theodore Karasik with the Institute for Near East and Gulf Military Analysis says the rising influence of the UAE's federal government, based in Abu Dhabi, has breathed new life into an old policy and is forcing Tehran to look for new economic arteries.
I think the government here has been very strong in support of the sanctions. You've seen a big difference. A lot of goods and services that used to come in and out of Dubai has moved to Pakistan or in land transport from Turkey. So there has been a shift.
Iran has made no secret of its desire to shift more of its trade from the Persian Gulf to Turkey. Other countries, such as Malaysia, are also gearing up for increased Iran trade. Analysts say this is why sanctions have historically been long-term projects. But the increasing financial pressure is also coming at a time when Iran's leaders have begun to lift hugely expensive subsidies on fuel, bread, and other necessities, putting a heavy strain on low-income Iranians. World leaders are watching closely to see how Tehran will react should pressure begin to increase from the inside as well as the outside. Peter Kenyon, NPR News.